Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Whole Scoop. This is a health and wellness radio show where our guests are always highly credentialed in their fields. The goal on this show is to provide you with good, solid information to make informed decisions. I'm your host, Carol Ferraci, a licensed registered dietitian practicing for over 30 years. You'll find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. Tonight, we have a great show tonight. It is called Healing Your Eyes Best with Needles. I did say that, Healing Your Eyes with Needles. So let me just remind you that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, it's always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. Call-in number is 347-855-8894. You can also direct your questions and comments to our blog page on Facebook. It's the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio Group on Facebook. Please do that. Make sure you give us some good, solid feedback, too. We're always looking for your feedback and information on what show to do next. So definitely do that. See us on Facebook, 347-855-8894. And we will be taking questions later on in the show where I'll call out the last four digits of your telephone number. And remember to press the number 1 if you have questions to get into the queue. And that lets me know that you actually have a question. So let me tell you who's on our show tonight, Kathleen Levy. She is an acupuncture physician and an RN. She holds a master's degree in Oriental medicine and has been practicing for 23 years plus. She has taught Oriental medicine for 21 years and is the co-founder of the Dragon Rises College of Oriental Medicine, along with her teacher, Dr. Leon Hammer. She teaches at Dragon Rises and supervises in the student clinic. She maintains a busy private practice and pharmacy, and she's worked for the last 7 years with a computer software, probably a little longer now, software developer, testing and creating acupuncture practice management systems specifically addressing GMP compliance requirements. She's been married for over 30 years and has 2 daughters, grandchildren. She's a fabulous person. Her youngest daughter is also an acupuncturist, and guess what? We got a bonus tonight because she's with us too. Her name is Julia, and we're going to be talking with both of them, and we're going to bring them on just right now and say, hey, how are you, Kathleen and Julia?
We're doing good.
Hello.
Are you with us?
Yes, we are. Can you hear me?
Good. Thanks so much for being here. And we got a little shakiness on that intro for a minute there. My phone cut out, and I was like, uh-oh, am I still on the air? So I'm glad to see that I am.
All right.
So we're talking about eyes. I was, you know, so looking forward to this show because I chose to do this show on eye health and acupuncture for so many different reasons, but mainly because I myself have eye issues, but so many people have eye issues that we just become complacent. Well, we'll just, you know, this is as far as we can go. This is what we can do, or we can't go any further. So I was so thrilled to hear that there's more than just that. So maybe, Kathleen, you could start us off, give us an idea of maybe the history and a little bit about the background of this and where it's come and where it's evolved. We could start there.
So basically, Chinese medicine has been working with eye diseases for a long time. I have a book in front of me right now that is called the Yin Hai Jing Wei. And its translation is Essential Subtleties on the Silver Sea. And it's a Chinese classic on ophthalmology or eye diseases. And I've been leafing through it, and I found about 81 different diseases that are discussed, including things like bleeding into the eye, pterygium, infections of the eye, conjunctivitis, styes of the eye, glaucoma, cataracts, macular degeneration, many different types of diseases of the eye that are common and are seen a lot in practice. They don't have the same terminology that we do, but the discussion of the symptoms lets you know exactly what the eye condition really is. There's also about 40 different formulas that are recommended, surgical techniques that are discussed, acupuncture techniques that are discussed, things like exercises for the eye and dietary recommendations for the eye. They also have a big in-depth discussion of the cause of a lot of these types of diseases. And they connect the eye function and health to the internal organs. And there's a special relationship between the eye and the liver. But all the internal organs can have a place in the eye. The other text I have in front of me right now is a book on eye acupuncture therapy. And this is a book that's associated with using the eye diagnostically. They will look at the eye and divide it into certain sections. Each section of the eye is associated with a particular organ of the body or a particular part of the body. And then there is changes in the vasculature that can be looked at, the little tiny capillaries and stuff in the eye. And those changes in the capillaries are diagnostic. And so they will use the eye to diagnose problems all over the body. And then they treat areas all over the body by needling around the eye itself. So the eye is treated as a as an individual entity, and you know there's discussion of eye diseases, but there's also, because of the reflection of the eye in the internal organs, you can see that there's the eye is used as a microsystem, a diagnostic microsystem, also a treatment microsystem. Chinese medicine has a lot of different microsystems. They include the pulse, the eye, the tongue, the belly, the nose, the hand, and the foot. The ear is also included, and many of these microsystems are in use today. In fact, they're getting more and more popular.
So, you know, for those people who are not familiar with acupuncture, I'm just going to back it up for just a second, because as you were talking, you know, I get it. I've actually benefited from this practice through you, and it's fabulous. But for those people who are just also just kind of curious about acupuncture and may not even understand it, maybe we should take one step back and just give a real short overview of acupuncture, because the things you just said, I was just putting myself in the place of people who are not familiar with this and going, okay, so you do needles. This is how I'm kind of processing it as a new person. Okay, so you do needles, but yet you're going to look at my tongue and my belly, or you're going to say my liver is off and you're going to stick needles around my eye for my liver. And how does that work? So maybe we should just take a step back, maybe talk about the meridians a little bit, just kind of give an overview of what acupuncture is. Would that be okay?
Sure. Acupuncture is a practice that's associated with the understanding of the connections between organs and skin in the body. There's all this connective tissue in the body, and it's made up of like membranes, and these membranes are formed during the evolution of the body, you know, the development of the body, and they connect the inside of the body to the outside of the body. That's why, you know, when you put, let's say, when you stub your toe, you can feel it, because the information goes shooting up into your brain and comes back down. And so you not only feel it and are aware that you stubbed your toe, but you pull it back real quick. That has to do with nerve endings. The energy in the meridians, which are distinct from the nerves but travel along the same pathway sometimes, the energy moves faster. They've done research that shows when you put a needle in the skin, there's an immediate change in the brain chemistry, and it changes so quickly that it is beyond measurement. It's simultaneous. So it's actually quite mysterious in a lot of ways, and it is still being researched in many areas, but the relationship between the surface of the body and the interior of the body is very tightly connected. And there's like connective tissue around the liver, and that connective tissue spreads all over the body, and it comes to a line on the outside that we call the liver meridian. The liver meridian can treat disorders of the eye, and the eye can treat disorders of the liver because they're connected to each other. Same thing goes with the heart. The heart's connected to the tongue. The ears are connected to the kidney. There's all these relationships in Chinese medicine that make the possibility of choosing points on the surface of the body that will have an impact on specific tissues interiorly, including the organs themselves.
Nice. So people who are maybe thinking about experiencing acupuncture for the first time, for anything, we're going to get back to the eyes here in just a second, but just for anything, you should probably expect that if you have a good, solid acupuncturist, which you more than likely will, that if they're telling you, oh, I need to work over here, this is good for your liver, you should not be alarmed by that. You should feel good about that, in that they're actually pinpointing certain areas for you. So, okay, thank you for that. I just wanted to kind of give people an overview for what this is about. And now let's just kind of fast forward again and talk about the eye. Let's go back to the microsystem of the eye and just kind of pick up a little bit from where we left off. But it's just fascinating to me that the eye is a microsystem. I would have never, ever thought about that. So that's just fascinating. Maybe you could expand a little bit more on that.
Well, I would say that even more than a microsystem, the eye is a reflection of the health of the inside of the body. It's one of the main ways that we evaluate a person's Shen. And the Shen itself is a combination of our intellect and our consciousness. And when you look at somebody in the eye, it comes at you. And I immediately can identify things that are going on with that person. Like if you've walked down the street ever and you've seen somebody who you are attracted to or comfortable with, you tend to look at them in the eye. And if, let's say, you're walking down the street and you come across somebody who's acting in a bizarre way, and you catch their eye and you get this feeling that something is not right with them, that's what we're talking about when we talk about Shen. And the eye, more than any other part of the body, will reflect that kind of energy. And we learn about it innately. It's something that we all know. Anytime you observe somebody, when you look at them, when you get the look in their eye, you know so much more about them than if they had their eyes closed, let's say. So that's a big part of the eye in Chinese medicine, is it reflects a person's inner self, and it can be read with a lot of clarity in a very rapid period of time. And the eye, because it reflects the health of the internal organs, examination of the eye can reveal disease in the rest of the body.
So give us an example. Let's just say that you pick up on, let's just pick up on something that is pretty relatively common, but you can pick it up in the eye, something that most people can identify.
All righty. So let's say somebody is working too hard, very stressed out, at the very edge of their rope. They don't have a lot left energy-wise. When you look at that person in the eye, you often see that the lower lid has drooped a little bit, and you can see the white underneath the iris of the eye. That's a sign that
I shouldn't look in the mirror right now then, huh?
Yeah. That's a sign that a person is reaching like adrenal burnout. Then if you look at somebody who is extremely frightened as well as being extremely burned out, you can see the entire iris. Their eyes are often so open that you can see the white all the way around the eye. That's a sign of both fear and burnout, and it's more severe than if you just see it underneath the eye.
But Isn't it John F. Kennedy?
Yeah. John F. Kennedy had it, if you look at pictures of him, right before, you know, he passed. He was really worn out, and he had it. You can see it.
He also had an adrenal issue.
Yeah.
He had a lack of normal kidney hormones. He had to be supplemented.
Wow.
Did you ever see a photograph of that lady called the Runaway Bride? It's not a movie, but it was a real person.
Yeah, I think I have, but I don't know that I actually remember the details of it.
Well, you can see that her eyes have whites all the way around. Another type of condition that you can see that in is certain types of thyroid disorders.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody is hyperthyroid, often you can see the whole white around their eye, and that's also a sign that their thyroid gland is overactive. The adrenals and the thyroid work together. They're part of the same system in Chinese medicine.
Eye that goes along with that as well. That's interesting. Wow.
A sign of chronic long-term cancer in Chinese medicine is that the lower lid becomes very red and it starts to droop. It kind of hangs open. And I have definitely seen that in people with advanced cancers.
Yeah, also, liver disease, going jaundice. What's the first thing that you look for is yellow in the eyes, and the liver and the eyes have a big part. They are connected. That's how you diagnose a lot of things that go wrong with the liver.
That's all true. That's so true. You're right.
Yeah,
and that is
it's cool.
Traditionally, look for, we're talking a little non-traditional tonight, but traditionally they look for that with the jaundice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing to me that they don't look at the eyes for anything else or not too many other things traditionally, but all the things you just mentioned, why not? You know, anyway, that's a conversation for another show. We could be here for a while discussing that one. But what I wanted to do is maybe we could break this down a little bit, because you mentioned things that when I'm listening to you and you say that things like glaucoma, things like macular degeneration, these are things that people are told, hey, you got glaucoma, we're going to give you drops or we're going to do whatever, you know, and this is what we can do for you, but there's going to be a point where it's going to progress and we're not going to be able to do anything. And macular degeneration, same thing, kind of maybe drops, maybe not. Let's just take those two for now and kind of progress us through with acupuncture, how those things can be treated and what kinds of results you've gotten.
Okay. I'll talk to you a little bit first about glaucoma. This is a condition which I have treated with this new system that I'm using, but I've also treated it in the past with other techniques. And glaucoma actually does respond pretty well to acupuncture. I've had good results in helping people, and frequently they're also under the care of doctors, and they are receiving medications, but sometimes even with medications, glaucoma gets out of control, and I've been able to help them maintain control using acupuncture and herbs that they weren't able to get with just the drugs that they were given by their doctor. And, you know, sometimes glaucoma is treated surgically, sometimes it's treated more with medications depending on what type it is. But I've had good results with both kinds of glaucoma using both herbs and acupuncture. And in glaucoma, there's a issue with heat in the liver and energy moving upwards into the eye and causing increased pressure in the eye. And that's the version of it from Chinese medicine. So what we do is we help to balance the energy in the liver so that it doesn't rise up like that. And once we get that yang of the liver to be subdued and go back and join with the yin of the liver, the eye pressure diminishes. It usually doesn't require needles around the eye, but, you know, every once in a while, especially if there's sensation of distending discomfort in the eye, we will use needles around the eye. Most of the time, they're in other parts of the body, though.
What about the progression of glaucoma? Is this something that is more advantageous when somebody's newly diagnosed, or is it at any stage?
It could be at any stage. In fact, if you catch it when it's newly diagnosed, often you can treat it with acupuncture and herbs, and you may not need other modalities until it or if it progresses. Sometimes treating the underlying issue can prevent it from progression.
And so if it is more advanced, you know, maybe long-term, do you treat the liver and does it either just stay the course for the eye or does it actually improve eye health?
It can improve it because a lot of times when somebody has a liver disorder and it's affecting the eyes, you have to remember that the liver can regenerate. Given the right circumstances, you can regenerate diseased liver tissue and improve the liver function as well as the vision.
Wow. I mean, you just said a mouthful there. You know, I mean, let's just back that train up just a minute, and because you know, this is, and I'm going to just stay on glaucoma for a minute, only because I'm personally attached to glaucoma through my mom, and you know, she's been struggling with this for a long, long time, and I know that progressively it's gotten worse as she's gotten older. So what you just said to me was actually encouraging, and I haven't found anything in the research, in traditional research, that has been encouraging as it relates to glaucoma, because I look all the time. And unless I missed something somewhere, this is something that people need to know about.
Yeah, it can be very helpful. And some of the focus is on helping to moisturize the eye, helping to improve blood flow to the eye, and also reducing the excessive buildup that occurs that causes the glaucoma itself.
And so you could actually reduce that buildup as well, and so you would. So what I'm hearing is that you would go for the liver, rejuvenate the liver in some way, shape, or form. It would ultimately rejuvenate the liver, which would then improve.
Frequently, that involves improving the blood flow in the liver.
Yes.
Has done a lot of research recently on microcirculation. And improving microcirculation in the capillary beds of the organs themselves. And when you can do that, often, like diseased liver tissue will actually start to revert back to normal.
Wow. Now, do these things take, I mean, you know, we live in a society where if you pop a pill and have surgery and you're cured the next day or you're feeling better the next day, that's what we want. So, what kind of time frame are we, you know, and I don't, there's no right or wrong and there's no definitive answer, but, you know, on the outlying of whatever, what would be the time frame for treatments like this to even start to see some kind of improvement?
Sometimes it happens within 2 or 3 weeks. Depends on how serious the condition is, but we can get improvement in a fairly short period of time in uncomplicated cases. In a complicated situation, it might take somewhere between 6 months to a year and a half of treatment.
And how often?
Somewhere between weekly or, you know, for something like a glaucoma, usually I would treat weekly to monthly.
Well, that's
and
pretty reasonable. I mean, I was actually sipping on water when you said 2 to 3 weeks, and I had to swallow a little bit differently because I didn't expect that at all. I thought you were going to say, well, maybe 2 to 3 months, we might start to see it turn around, and you went 2 to 3 weeks. I was like, you could have really, like, filmed that reaction.
I had one patient start seeing results after, I want to say, six treatments, and I got to tell you, people will come in for other issues and they won't even, you know, talk about their eyes really, but it'll be a happy little side effect and they'll say that they can see like more crisp and everything's more vibrant and clear after treatment, and we weren't even trying to do that. So that's other patients. So, that's, you know, it's always targeting the eyes for some reason. It's beautiful.
And this particular system... This particular system that we learned has a lot to do with the hands and the feet. And I had a patient who was coming in for, she basically had stenosis of the spine. And so she was in a lot of pain, had sciatic pain, and some of the inflammation had given rise to these nodules in her feet, and they were painful. And I was needling and doing Moxa on the nodules to help reduce their size and give her some relief in the pain. And she came back after a couple of treatments and said, you know, all of a sudden I don't need my reading glasses anymore. And that has persisted. And it was after that experience that I learned about this other microsystem that can improve vision using hands and feet. So I got my first experience before I even knew what I was doing.
Yeah, it was confirmed before you even knew. That's
yeah.
great.
That's so very cool, you know. I mean, what a great way to start something new when someone comes in and tells you, wow. Because, you know, a lot of us would do that, and we would say, we would think to ourselves, like, if it were me, I'd think to myself, maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe that's not really happening, you know. But then after time goes on, you realize you really are. You don't need your reading glasses or something. You just have to say something. That's amazing. What a great start.
What's even better is these results, they're going back and getting checked by the retinologist or, you know, their eye doctor. And they are getting results. I have one gentleman, actually three different patients have told me that two of them had gone to the VA too, and they had gotten their eyes rechecked after getting treatments. And one gentleman had to call in every single one of his coworkers to come in and check the machine to make sure the machine was working correctly, because they don't see macular degeneration get better. It gets stabilized. But rarely does it actually have improvement. And I've had three different patients tell me that their doctors have gotten so confused that they thought they maybe switched up their documents or did it incorrectly. And it's so great. And like they're just like, it looks like your eyes are getting better. I don't know how. It's acupuncture.
Wow. That's pretty funny.
It is hilarious. It's so great. It's so great.
That is great. Let me just be my mom for a minute here, because I'm hearing questions in my head when I tell her these things. And the questions that I'm hearing from her right now in my head are things like, well, what about the medicine I'm on? Will this impact the medicine? Can I do this with the medicine that I'm on? And I know you guys just said that, you know, they're already seeing a doctor and whatever, but maybe you could allay some fears that I know people like my mom are having, like, well, what about if my doctor says to do something like this and then I do this, will it interfere? I don't want to make it worse. I can't afford to see less, you know? So can we just put that to rest a little bit?
Yes, I would say that as far as the medication, acupuncture is not going to interfere with the medication. Most of the time when acupuncture is included with Western medications, it helps to control the side effects, and it may even improve the medication's effects, but it doesn't interfere. Herbs are a different thing, and so anybody who is receiving herbs from an acupuncturist or herbalist, they need to know what kind of medications an individual is on to make sure that there's not herb-drug interactions. And even though we don't know everything about every new drug and whether it interacts or not, we have some pretty standard and solid information about herbs to be cautious about and groups of herbs to be cautious about with certain types of medications like blood thinners and stuff like that.
So I think that's a real important point that people need to understand, that I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about how to find the right acupuncturist for you, because we've got people listening from different parts of the country. We don't just have where we are locally or in Florida. You know, we'll talk about that, but I want to just kind of let everybody know that, let me just do a break here for a second. Give me 1 second.
You're listening to the Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferrazzi.
And so that's our break to remind you that you're listening to the Whole Scoop Radio, and we're talking with Kathleen and Julia Levy, and they are acupuncture physicians. They're fabulous. We're talking about eye health, and I'm learning so much tonight. It's just great. You want to tell people how they can get in touch with you, Kathleen?
I have an email address. It's Kathleen, Kathleen .Levy, Levy, at gmail.com, And I also have a website, and the website is Kathleen, KathleenLeavy, .com. And the website has information about my practice. It also has a scheduling software, and you can make appointments on the website. You can also send info to the website. You know, there's an info at, and I will answer any emails that come through the website or my email.
Okay, fabulous. And you can find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com and on the Blog Talk Radio Facebook page. So you got questions, you got comments, you want to know more, you want to see us do some more information on this topic, please let me know. Okay, we're back. So all that being said, let's just we'll save the how to find a good acupuncturist until a little bit later in the show. And I'm not even saying how to find a good acupuncturist as much as what should people look for when they're choosing an acupuncturist. Right now, I think let's just go with some more examples. You have some more examples of case studies or patients that you want to talk about to kind of give people some ideas. We can, you know, cross the gamut: glaucoma, macular degeneration, cataracts. I mean, you know, people have surgery for cataracts. Is that always necessary, or can they maybe look at acupuncture?
In very early cases, when the cataract is small, it's not ready for surgery, sometimes herbs and acupuncture, and especially more herbs than acupuncture, can help to reduce the speed of development and give them a little bit more time before surgery. It's not necessarily the thing that's treated the most effectively with acupuncture herbs, though. Other diseases respond better.
Okay.
Like I had a patient who had iridditis. He'd had it for a couple of years, and it had been coming and going quite a bit over even longer time, about 10 years. And he had periodically been on steroids for the iridditis. I included him in our little study that we did. He received 10 treatments. And after those 10 treatments, he says, I don't think much happened, but I'm going to go see my eye doctor. He went to see his eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, well, your iridditis is gone. He says, I'm going to take you off the steroids. And as he withdrew the steroids, he started to get pain in his eye. And so he went back to the doctor thinking that the iridditis had returned, and the doctor said, actually, you've got a little piece of fishing line stuck in your eye here. Let me take it out. And he took that out, and the iridditis has not returned. And he also, after that, got an exam and said that his vision had improved. And I think Julia has some other stories to tell you. This guy was very, he didn't think it was going to work. He was pretty, he actually was quite impressed at the end of it all.
He was one of my most difficult patients, actually. Every time I'd see him, he'd be like, it's not working, and I'm not saying thank you. And then he went to his doctor, and it was gone. It was pretty amazing. I have a couple of other stories.
Not working, and I'm saying thank you?
Yeah. He's trying his best. He's an old curmudgeon.
That's funny.
Yeah, one of my first patients actually was very successful. She came in, she was an older woman, she was in her mid-70s, and she had macular degeneration it was pretty severe. She had a seeing eye dog, legally blind, bumping into walls. I asked her when I first started seeing her if she could see my face, like how much she could see, and she said she could sort of see light and shape, sort of, but she was still bumping into walls every time. And after about 6 treatments, now this is rare. I do want to put this out there that it does take more treatments than this. This was just an extraordinary case. I feel like it is important mentioning that she had seen Dr. Ott, and she'd gotten maybe 25 treatments, something like that, maybe 2 courses of 25 treatments, and she actually wasn't getting results. So I have to really put it out there that it is the amount of treatments is, I think, sometimes important. But she came to me, and after the 6th treatment, she looked up at me from the table, looked up at my face, and said, I can see your face. And I was stunned. I was just smiling. And she's like, I can see you smiling. And so that was like, of course I'm smiling. This is amazing. You can see my face. So that was really exciting. And she goes into the bathroom. And she comes out after looking herself in the mirror for the first time in years. And she, you know, of course she says something like, oh, my God, I've aged. And it was just really funny. And she looks at her husband, and she's like, oh, you've aged too. So that was really exciting. And she also she's just kept getting amazing results. She said that she was at Sunny's, and because she was so blind, she obviously was not the person in charge of cash in the family. She was not allowed to dash up cash, but she said that she could actually tell the $5 bill from the $1 bills, and she got so excited, and she could read the Sunny's on the cup. She was at Sunny's restaurant, and she could read that for the first time in a very long time. She was just so excited. And she also said that sitting down at the kitchen table, her husband actually told me this, that she looked up at his face, and she was just like, it is so good to see your face eating breakfast here for the first time in a really long time. And that was really beautiful. She was so excited about this one thing, because for the first time in a while, she was able to use her computer again and start typing on her computer. Now, of course, she had those special computer programs that invert the screen so that it's easier to see. But she said for the first time, she could write a whole letter to her friend. And it was really amazing to have that to be able to do that again. Her husband said she only made a few mistakes. So he was spell checking for her. So that was really exciting.
That's amazing. I mean, just the feeling alone from, you know, what she had and what you experienced as a practitioner for her, it's overwhelming. It's completely overwhelming. You know, you're taking somebody that hasn't seen for how long, and just providing such a wonderful gift. I mean, that's just amazing.
I was going to set out another story.
before we go any further with the examples, I wanted to make a point before. The needles for acupuncture. We went through what acupuncture is and how it works, but you know, some people just freak out at the thought of needles, and so I want to make the point that acupuncture needles are not like absolutely invasive needles where they're going to go all the way. You guys explain it. You know better than me. So why am I going to explain it? So just please explain. Go for that.
Well, acupuncture needles tend to be very thin. The ones that I use are about 40 gauge, and you could take about 5 or 6 of them and put them inside of a hypodermic needle. So they're very, very narrow. They have a rounded tip so that they don't cut through things, and often with the insertion of an acupuncture needle, there's no pain. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it doesn't, but often there's no pain and there's no bleeding when you remove it because it hasn't pierced a blood vessel. So acupuncture needles are usually very well tolerated, and I even have quite a few children in my practice that are perfectly okay with acupuncture needles after their first experience because it didn't hurt them.
Okay, great. I'm glad we got that out of the way. So went through what acupuncture is. We went through the needles. So now we've just kind of allowed people to be calm about acupuncture. No. So now let's just give us another example. Let's hear another one.
Just this morning, I had one of my eye patients, and she was telling me that for the first time in 20 years, she can go out at night and see her dogs when she's walking them. She said that's that's never been a possibility for her. And so she's really excited about that. And she was tearing up. It was really beautiful. And she said that she also, with macular degeneration, it's really common to have that big blurry spot. She said that every time she gets a treatment, it's like there's little holes being poked through it every single time. And it just gets more and more clear, almost like, yeah, yeah, just like that, actually. So that's been really impressive. There was also one of our first treatments. Me and my mother were treating her together, and within several treatments, she had a retinitis pigmentosa, and she had been blind since she was about 17 years old. Was that correct? Yeah.
Legally blind,
and she's seeing eye dog, and she's about 47 now, I want to say. So she's had this for quite a while. And after some of the first treatments, she experienced significant changes, more light inflow. She noticed, she looked down on the ground, and she noticed, she was wondering what all this weird stuff was on the ground. She couldn't quite figure out what it was, what its texture was. She reached down and realized that it was leaves. She was seeing leaves on the ground for the first time in what probably felt like forever. And she also, what I thought was really, really sweet was that she saw the color of her dog for the first time.
Her seeing eye dog,
of course. And she always thought it was black, but it wasn't. It was more of a light brown color. And that really kind of ring true for me. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this stuff is actually working. It's actually working. It was really cool.
Wow.
And she's looking up at the ceiling on one of her treatments and was just, oh my gosh, I can see the wood panels. She's like, I never noticed the details before in the ceiling. And it was really amazing. It really, really was.
Yeah, she said she saw a lizard outside. It was the first time she'd seen a lizard in like 7 years because they're just too small for her to see.
Yeah, like skittered past her. Yeah. It was really cool.
And it scooted past her, and she was able to see that. So that's pretty amazing.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's recap, okay? You've got – we talked glaucoma, macular degeneration, iriditis. All of these things, you guys have made major improvements and changed people's lives. Is that what I'm – I mean, I'm not wrong about that, right? All three of those things and more, right?
Well, I could give you a list of the things that we know that this treats. This particular protocol can treat Stargardt's retinitis, which is usually from birth, retinitis pigmentosa, which is also a hereditary disease that people start degenerating very young, diabetic retinopathy, both types of macular degeneration, the wet and the dry type, myopia, iriditis, and glaucoma are the specific diseases that this particular protocol treats the best.
Wow. So why wouldn't people then seek acupuncture for these things? Is it because they, A, don't know, B, are afraid, C, don't really get it, all of the above? What have you heard? What do you know? And
I think that a big part of it is just not knowing that there is that option.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
When you have these wonderful success stories and they go back to their physicians and the physicians are scrambling to check their equipment and doing all kinds of things, and I know this just as a practitioner doing some alternative stuff with my patients and food sensitivities and, you know, taking care of issues that people have had for years, and they go back to their physicians and the physicians go, oh, well, it must have been this, as opposed to, of course, what I do or anything. You know, what happens then? I hate to use this terminology, but just bear with me for a minute. Have you turned physicians in your direction? Have they actually started to even accept, or just the ones that you know, have they accepted this and maybe referred to you or not?
We haven't gotten that far yet. We've just been using this particular protocol since early spring, February or so. And so,
all of these things since early spring? Really?
Yes. Yes.
It's been this year. And so, you know, some of the eye doctors in the area are seeing patients now that are getting this treatment and are kind of impressed, but we haven't gotten any referrals back from them.
Okay, so let me just get this. I just really want to make this point for you, okay? Since early spring this year, 2016, you took people, you just gave three examples of people that have had these things going on for years and years and years to the point of seeing eye dogs and whatnot, and they're now seeing, and you've given them a whole new opening to life. Is that right?
It's true. I mean, some people have gotten better improvement over others, and it's not real predictable who's going to get the fastest improvement or if they're going to get a lot of improvement. Sometimes there's a failure, but
it also has to do with the dedication as well, how willing they are to come in and really, you know, go in with us. Yeah.
The number of treatments makes a difference.
And lifestyle changes, too, as well.
Right. There's this one man who I had referred to a practitioner in West Virginia, Dr. Ott, before I knew this protocol. And he had received about 50 treatments there with this doctor. He had a very severe case of wet macular degeneration that was hereditary. And I think it was dry and wet. One eye was dry, one was wet. And the degeneration was severe and rapid, and he was very, very disturbed and upset about it, willing to do anything. So he made two trips to Virginia to get treated. I think he was there for about a week at a time, got about 25 treatments within 1 week. He came back. The doctors told him initially that he had stabilized, that he wasn't experiencing any more rapid deterioration in either eye. And then after another 25 treatments that we had given him, he started seeing improvements in both eyes. And his doctors
Wow.
were quite impressed because they weren't holding out much hope that he was going to get even stabilization, let alone improvement.
Wow.
And this
That's
is
amazing.
An older man who lives alone, and he did not want to go into an assisted living center. And so this was almost a matter of life and death for him.
Wow.
Because he was very adamant that he was not going to be disabled.
Well, I mean, I think what you just said there was a mouthful in terms of where the patient is and what they really... what their will is in order to
yeah.
succeed as well, you know, because I'm sure some people come in and they go, this probably isn't going to work, and then they don't come back for a while. Or if you haven't experienced that yet, it probably will happen. But when their determination is there and it is life and death for them and they don't want the alternative, that's a totally different story. And so they stick with the treatments. It's the same as when you work with anything. I always tell people, look, I've never had my food sensitivity program fail for people who have worked the program and work it well, you know? So it's the same kind of thing with your treatments. You got to stay with the treatments. So I think the point I'm trying to make here, if I sound like I'm rambling for a minute, is that when you're looking at situations like this as it relates to acupuncture or some other alternative type of treatment other than the traditional, it's not a pill, it's not surgery, it is a matter of stick-to-itiveness, if you will, with a good solid practitioner, and making sure that you are committed to what it is that you're doing, because it's your body. And again, we'll make that point where you do have the power for your own body to make things happen. And you don't necessarily have to take that outcome that somebody else told you that you would be taking, like this gentleman who didn't want to go to an assisted living facility. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have a question. Would you like to? I can see a couple questions on the board. I'm going to warn everybody tonight that we had some problems with questions on the board the last couple of shows. So if I'm calling out your number and we're not hearing you, it's it might be that technical thing. I have called about it. I've talked to the people about it. So but we'll do the best we can. So we're going to take the first caller at 2205.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, we can hear you. Good.
Hi. I had a question. I personally wear contacts, and I really can't see further than like a foot or so in front of my face, and I do have pretty mild, but I do have astigmatism, so when I do wear my contacts, it's so uncomfortable, and I was wondering if something like acupuncture I could benefit from.
Is the pain due to dryness or something like that?
Yes. I use a special kind of like contact solution that helps prevent dryness, but at the end of the day, I'm dying to get my contacts out.
Right.
And I usually have pretty red eyes by the end of the day.
Right. Acupuncture can be helpful in improving the moistness of the eyes, especially in addition with herbs. Sometimes herbs are required because it may be associated with issues like not enough blood flow, blood deficiency, or a yin deficient kind of condition, which is also a dry condition that would make the eyes get red and dry and painful. So it can be definitely helped, and it could make your contacts more comfortable. It may take a little while, especially if you are yin or blood deficient, because when I gave those numbers, like maybe 6 months, 18 months, in nourishing blood may take as long as 18 months with herbs. It may also require some changes in your lifestyle, perhaps dietary changes to nourish your blood or nourish yin could be also helpful.
Okay. And do you think, like, I could possibly see improvements in my vision as well?
There's a possibility, you know. If it is just astigmatism, I'm not sure if acupuncture or herbs would be that beneficial because it has more to do with the compliance of the lens. Sometimes moistening techniques like nourishing yin and blood can make the lens a little bit more pliable so that there wouldn't be as severe of astigmatism, but it's not necessarily something that is covered in the particular type of acupuncture that I'm talking about more specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. And, you know, I think that brings up a really good point, though. Are there... I'm trying to figure out how to formulate this question. Just because your particular treatment at this point in time, Kathleen, for that particular issue may not be warranted, that doesn't mean that maybe there are some other areas in the body that could be worked on that may ultimately possibly improve some eye health. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. Multiple organs are involved in the eye function, eye health, and improving any of those might help. But when she was specifically talking about stigmatism, it's not necessarily something that is addressed with the protocols that I'm aware of. But eye dryness, though, definitely is.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Hey, we've got another one. You want to take another one? We've got a few more minutes left. You want to take another one?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, 6480. 6480. Hello? Hello, 6480. I think we just lost her. Okay, so we don't have another caller. Actually, we just lost a few people with questions. They just disappeared with questions. So let's just kind of recap a little bit. How's that?
Okay. I do have also a couple of other things I want to share.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. The protocol that we're using was actually developed in Denmark in about 1984. And two people are involved. One is Freddie Dahlgren, and the other person that I think worked with him at the time, also from Denmark, Per Ott. And there is another person in Denmark right now named John Bowl, who is teaching this technique. And he has a program called AcuNova,
And his website is www.acunova.dk. And if there's acupuncturists listening who are interested in being trained, he is offering training. There's also a man who is named Mats, M-A-T-S Sexton, S-E-X-T-O-N, who's based in Minnesota, and he is offering training and also treatments, and he has a website called pindoctor.com, P-I-N-doctor.com. And then the third person is Per Ott, and he's in West Virginia, and he has a website called microacupuncture.com. Any of those people could supply either information on the website, and at least two of those people are willing to do trainings for people who are interested in learning this technique.
Oh, that's great to know. Okay, so let's just talk about how do people pick or choose an acupuncturist that you know, what are the questions that they ask? How do, based on what you just gave, if they take some notes on who on these people, or is there a name for this type of treatment? Should they call and say, "Hey, do you do this?" Or what? How and what should they do?
There's not a lot of this particular technique being practiced in the United States right now. I think it is definitely going to spread. They could ask if somebody is familiar with microacupuncture, dealing with eye disorders. In general, if somebody's interested in finding a good acupuncturist, word of mouth is fairly reliable. Usually in each state, there's a board of acupuncture, and inquiries to the board of acupuncture could find qualified acupuncturists in your area. It's important for acupuncturists to do things diagnostically, like assess the pulse, look at the tongue, ask detailed questions about a person's health issues and lifestyle. There's also referral centers. Like sometimes you can contact, there's a man in Washington State. He has a website called itmonline.com. No, it's itmonline.org, and he refers people to acupuncturists all over the country. There's also the U.S. government and NCAOM.
Yeah.
National Certification for Acupuncturists is a national site where they have websites, and they have referrals based on people who are qualified and certified by the NCAOM.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So there's a lot of resources that people have that they can get some solid, good solid practitioners and get to experience this for a lot of different areas. And I think what I'd like to do is maybe have you guys back to talk about maybe just acupuncture in general and the kinds of things, because people just don't know. They just don't have a clue as to what it can do for all kinds of different things, a variety of things. So if that's okay with you, we'd love to do that. And we can.
Well, acupuncture is one of the branches of Chinese medicine, which also includes exercise, lifestyle modifications, diet modifications, herbology, and massage, as well as acupuncture. So there's many different types of treatments available from Chinese medical practitioners, not just acupuncture. And it does form a complete form of medicine. Acupuncture in Chinese medicine is actually being used more frequently than any other form of medicine on the planet at this point.
Say that again?
It's being used more frequently by more people than any other form of medicine on the planet. Chinese medicine. It's big.
It looks like, I know we only technically have a minute or so left, but it looks like the person that dropped off on that question on the phone just logged in a question.
Okay.
And it's, does inflammation cause eye issues? If so, can acupuncture help? I think that's probably just a generalized, you can just kind of wrap that up and kind of give them an overview.
Absolutely. And, you know, acupuncture can treat inflammation on various levels. We work a lot with inflammation, and we call it heat clearing. It's very effective. And I've had people who have had, let's say, a minor injury to the eye come in with their eye all red and swollen. I can do a couple of points around the eye, maybe something on the foot, and within 20 minutes that inflammation is greatly reduced. Swelling is down, redness is down, pain is down.
I had a friend recently, actually, who was attacked by a hawk. It attacked his eye, actually, and acupuncture brought it down, like the inflammation, quite quickly. You know, after the surgery, of course, and then he came back and got a lot of acupuncture, and it worked. And it was amazing. It was noticeable. Swelling went down immediately. Inflammation went down. So that was an interesting story. But
I'm still on. He was attacked by a hawk. I'm still
I
there.
I know. Right? We all are. We still don't know how he even got attacked by a hawk.
Yeah,
it was. It was in a park. He was practicing Qigong, and it was early in the morning, and it swooped down and got him. I think it was thinking he was, you know, stealing his breakfast or something. I'm not sure. We're still not sure.
That's amazing.
I know.
Listen, I can't thank you enough for tonight. This has been fabulous. I mean, there's just so much more to talk about, and there's so much more to learn for people, to teach people about acupuncture. Seriously, I'd love to have both of you back. Would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll work on those details. Again, do you want to give out your information on how people can get in touch with you?
Sure. It's Kathleen, KathleenLevy, LEAVY, at gmail.com. And then there's the website is KathleenLevy.com. The phone number at the office is 352-379-4618.
Wonderful. Thank you. I think maybe you've just given a whole lot of people hope that they didn't even know existed. So can't thank you enough. It's been an absolutely enlightening show. I can't wait for the follow-up.
Thank you for spreading the word, Carol. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us. This is great.
It's fabulous. So let me just kind of tell everybody what's going on. We only have one more show left for the year because technically we do this show on the second and fourth Thursdays of each month. Of course, the fourth Thursday this year is for November is Thanksgiving, so I don't think anybody's really going to be wanting me to do a show on Thanksgiving. So we're going to skip right into December on December 8th, and one of our favorite guests is coming back, like we have tonight, Dr. Basilio Pace. He's coming back. He's always a hoot. I don't know exactly what we're talking about because I never do with him. So I'll be putting out information about that show as soon as I know what it is. But it'll be a fun way to wrap up the year. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of different stuff. But I need to tell you what's happening on Monday night. The Whole Scoop is proud to say that we are sponsoring our first workshop. We're doing it with Susan Schatzer, and it's going to be Thriving Through the Holidays. And she's going to share some tips on how to thrive through those holidays with those relatives that you may not necessarily always get along with, and how to make your life and your experience with ease with those family members. So it's worth every bit of it. It's $8 a person. Sign up online. There's links everywhere, all over Facebook for this. We're very excited. This is the first of what is about to become hopefully the many starting next year. And Susan, you know very well, she's been on the show a number of times, so please, and maybe we can get the wonderful guests we have tonight to consider maybe doing something like that with us next year as well. So, all that being said, we're going to say goodnight for now, and thank you again to Kathleen and Julia Levy, and we'll be seeing you in a couple weeks, but we'll see you on Monday night, too. Don't forget, sign up, okay? Everybody, good night.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
couldn't hang up.